KXNO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is doubling down on tariffs, but he admits there could be tough economic times ahead. Here's CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Over the weekend, the president was asked about whether or not he's expecting a recession, which he did not answer directly, in fact, indicating that the country could be entering a somewhat painful, quote, period of transition.
The Supreme Court has agreed to decide whether state and local governments can enforce laws banning so-called conversion therapy for LGBTQ plus children. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
There are cases throughout the nation in 28 states in which they've sought to ban this type of therapy. And the Supreme Court is going to step in.
An oil tanker and a cargo ship have collided off the coast of Britain in the North Sea. CBS's Ian Lee.
A Portuguese flagship hit the nearly stationary U.S. flagship. A huge fireball erupted. Some people, we are hearing, jumped into the water.
32 people have been brought ashore. CBS News Brief.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Department has joined eight other counties in the state, entering into warrant service officer agreements with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Lisa Hale has more.
It joins Brown, Fond du Lac, Manitowoc, Marquette, Sheboygan, Washington, and Washera counties in entering into a 287G agreement. The Department of Homeland Security says this program trains local police officers to become ICE warrant service officers. The officers can then serve warrants on behalf of the agency inside of local jails and correctional facilities where they work. ICE then has 48 hours to take the immigrant into custody. The ACLU of Wisconsin has urged local sheriffs not to enter into these 287G agreements or to withdraw from their existing contracts.
And Attorney General Josh Call joins 20 attorneys general that moved for a temporary restraining order to stop mass firings and seek reinstatement of federal probationary employees. Melissa Kay has more.
In the lawsuit filed on Friday, the Coalition of Attorneys General claims that the large-scale federal reductions in force, or RIF, are required to follow certain federal laws and regulations. When an RIF results in a layoff of 50 or more employees, the agency must generally give a 60 days advance notice to states' governments so they can provide vital rapid response information, resources, and services to affected workers.
And Governor Tony Evers released a statement Friday slamming the Trump administration for the illegal firing of thousands of federal workers. This includes nearly 6,000 veterans. The administration plans to cut as many as 80,000 jobs in the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. This move will likely impact veterans' care and services across the country. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Bucks lose to Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Cavaliers, the first place team in the Eastern Conference, beat the Bucks at Fiserv Forum, 112-100. The Bucks committing 17 turnovers. How did that happen? Bucks guard Kyle Kuzma.
I think how we played offense and we played on our heels a little bit, not playing aggressive, not being decisive. Probably got to us a little bit.
College basketball, the Badgers women's team coach, Marissa Mosley, is out after four seasons at Wisconsin. Her overall record, just 47 wins and 75 losses as the Badger women's head coach. Football, receivers Davante Adams and Seattle's DK Metcalf have found new homes in the NFL. The 32-year-old Adams will sign a two-year deal worth $46 million with the Los Angeles Rams, while the Seahawks will trade Metcalf to Pittsburgh for a second-round pick. The Steelers agree to sign him to a five-year contract worth $150 million with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get to the mid-60s this afternoon, but wind out of the southwest at about 15 to 25 here after lunch today. Tonight, a cold front comes through down to 28. Sunny, not as windy, 40 tomorrow. But we'll be back in the 50s and 60s by later this week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine. Why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Monday, March 10th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.18, the same since Friday. And the average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.24, also the same since Friday. We have a jam-packed show coming up for you today. We really do. Randy Manor, retired Major General, is going to be joining us after 10:33. What do we do now without any allies?
Our best.
We're going to talk to Randy Manor about Ukraine, Canada, Mexico, Europe, kind of long-term allies of the United States, maybe not so much anymore. Randy Manor will be joining us to talk about the implications, because that will affect all of us here in Wisconsin. I know it seems very, very far away, but there are ramifications that we need to keep in mind. So Randy Manor will be joining us at 10:33. If you have a question for Randy, please send it in now to janesays@civicmedia.us. Armani Millens is going to join us after the 11 o'clock news. Going to talk about the Apollo Showcase coming up in Milwaukee. Great opportunity for young Black students to get up and perform. So we're going to learn more about the Apollo Showcase coming up after the 11 o'clock news. 11:33, Chris Ramos from Blaine's Farm and Fleet is going to join us. I had heard a report on the Farm Report with Pam Yonke, who, by the way, is wonderful. Oh, everybody at the Midwest Farm Report is fantastic. And she had done a thing about Blaine's mailing bees.
What?
Yes, they mail bees. Lots of people are taking this on. My sister's neighbor, actually, has been raising honeybees for the last couple of years. More and more people are doing backyard bees.
They mail bees?
They mail bees.
Do they female bees?
I believe they do.
There are.
And then we will, of course, wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We have an update for you on a previous tisbet.
Nice.
So stay tuned for that. Right now, though, I did want to start off, since we were just talking about egg prices, in case you missed it, over the weekend, President Trump retweeted an article from Charlie Kirk on his social media website that essentially said shut up about egg prices.
But wait a minute. They were the ones talking about egg prices all last year.
No. Now we should shut up about egg prices.
Why, though? I mean, they're so affordable, Jane.
Yeah, just thought I'd throw that in there. Also, as we were coming on the air this morning, the stock market down again. And we have now effectively wiped out all of the stock market gains from November 5th.
Yes. And it's not just the Dow Jones. It's all of
it's
them.
It's across the board.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. The talk of tariffs really going over well.
And I was telling you this this, I was telling you this before we went on the air. From Friday when we left to this morning, I couldn't keep up because anything tariff was, we're going to suspend tariffs for a month. We're going to raise tariffs on this. Tariffs on this country. Tariffs on Canada. It's so confusing to me. I couldn't even imagine being in the businesses that possibly could get a tariff.
Well, and if there's one thing that business and farmers alike love,
yeah,
it's uncertainty.
True.
Makes their lives so, so much easier.
Yeah.
But we wanted to start off by talking Bernie Sanders. Is Bernie Sanders 85?
I believe so. Let me look it up here.
He is well into his 80s. Bernie Sanders, this from Wisconsin Public Radio, draws a capacity crowd in Kenosha. 3,500 people showed up at UW Parkside last Friday.
He is 83.
He's 83.
Yeah.
It was huge.
And he has all the energy.
He really does.
Yeah.
Lots of people came out to see Bernie Sanders. And again, they had to turn people away.
My friend went to the place and he went to the Kenosha stop and he was in the overflow room or the overflow because it was just too many. They had to direct them and then they had to turn people away.
Right. If you were there, by the way, we'd love to talk to you.
Yes, please.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Bernie Sanders talking about the average American. They worry about what happens when the car breaks down. You need to put $1,000 to get the car going. If you don't have the $1,000, you can't get to work.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get to work, you lose your job. If you lose your job, what happens to your family? Bernie Sanders said we have to come up with the ideas and the agenda that working people all over this country support. Bernie, of course, backs publicly funding elections, raising the minimum wage to $17 an hour, and universal Medicare for all. He also compared fighting billionaires' influence to American colonists who took on the entire British Empire. And he believes the oligarchs can be beaten.
Yes.
It was a massive, massive turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernie Sanders was not the only ones who has been making the rounds. Mark Pocan. Mark Pocan has also been out on the trail, essentially going to areas where the Republicans won't show up because now they're afraid of everybody.
Well, now they're being told, don't go there anyways. Just don't even bother.
Yeah. Just don't go.
Yeah.
Just don't go. We talked about this a little bit last week, of course, the Republicans' response to people showing up at these town halls who are not happy with their representatives and what is happening in the country right now. They're all being paid off.
Yes.
They're all being paid off. No one's doing this out of their own volition. No one's doing this because the Trump policies are having a direct impact on their lives. No, they're all paid whiners.
We have the intelligence on our own live stream comments, quote, they are Democrats and losers.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, has some comments.
I bet he does.
About the protesters who have been showing up at some of these town halls. Calvin, can you play that clip, please?
The problem is they're being ambushed right now by what are some, in many cases, paid protesters. You've got George Soros-funded groups. They're very well organized. They fill all the seats. And so the actual constituents of these Republican members can't actually make it into the arenas.
Please show me the proof of that. Yep. I just want to see one canceled George Soros check. Just one. Just one.
And in the memo, it just says birthday party.
It's graduation.
It's such an old trope. It's almost like if we weren't dealing with the future of our country, it would be like a movie type of aspect to a plot line. But when in doubt, they always go back to the well of George Soros dipping into his bottomless funds to pay people to either protest or go to town halls. There are better ways of spending your money. You know what I mean?
To get the results that you want.
Exactly. Like he could go in and just, I mean, I'm sure he has his influence in the halls of power, but also just this notion of like, you know how I really want to invest my money? I want to pay someone one time $50 or whatever to go to a town hall in a library in Wisconsin.
Right. That's where the focus
is. What a great
is.
Investment.
Yes. He's big on ROI. Yeah. He's big on the return on investment. And as always with Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, You don't actually need proof.
Never.
You just feel it.
Gut instinct.
You just feel it.
Well, you know, voter fraud, intuitive. They knew it.
They know it exists. They just can't prove it.
No. They don't need to. They just, it's right here.
They know.
Yeah.
They know in the core of their being. Mark Bocan was on MSNBC recently. Gavin, let's play that clip from Representative Mark Bocan here from Wisconsin.
Yeah, I did not see any limousines with George Soros' name on them, dropping people off. We filled the streets with people. And it was interesting. They came from La Crosse and Potosi and Toma and Platteville, all parts, by the way, not of my district, but of Derek Van Orden's, plus people from that area in my district, the western part of my district. Again, a lot of people who are, you know, very much based in agricultural economy. This is going to hurt them a lot. At the State of the Union, I brought a farmer who's lost two of his grants. Even though Donald Trump has said no farmers lost grants, he's living proof that Donald Trump is a liar. And he also is on Medicaid, his family, just to get by, because farming, especially small farms, is not all that lucrative, but you're helping feed your neighbors. So people were just, you know, rightfully so, very concerned. And they just want to make sure that we're doing more. I think that was one of the strongest messages. They want Democrats to do exactly what we're doing right now. And I know some other members are doing, is getting into their districts and make them uncomfortable, because they want to be heard and their members won't listen to it.
Yeah, they're just, well, now the head of the NRCC is essentially told Republicans, yeah, don't hold those town halls anymore.
No, we don't want to do that. But, you know, he did mention that was Derek Van Orden's district. And, you know, Derek Van Orden isn't really big on doing anything for the people there. But if you do want to catch him, if you do want to get to him,
yeah,
there will be a dinner.
It's going to cost you.
Lincoln Day Dinner 2025, celebrating 2025 success. Okay. This Saturday, meet and greet 5 p.m., dinner and program 6 p.m. at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center, Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
Only $40. George Soros, if you're out there, can you spot us? Maybe a scholarship fund for some people to go and see him, because I'm sure they'd want to ask Derek Van Orden some questions like, hey, what about the farmers? Hey, how are you helping the farmers? And also, why were you at January 6th and don't seem to care about it? You know, just ask him some basic questions.
Well, he's a very, very brave man, Derek Van Orden. When he's up against teenagers, you know, when he's up against a teenage librarian or Senate pages.
Or some reporters.
Boy, he is one tough cookie, man.
I just have a feeling, and this isn't me willing it into the world, I just have a feeling there will be some nice piece of video before or after this program on Saturday. Because I'll bet you there are going to be people at this event outside waiting for him like they were waiting for Glenn Grothman at his town hall. I would love to see that happen. Please, if you go, send video. If you get to ask him a question.
Even better.
I'd love to see his really mature response.
His well-reasoned response.
Yeah.
And if you do have a canceled check from George Soros, please, I would love to see your canceled check from George Soros that he paid you to go to a town hall to complain. I just think if this money is so much out there, that's always their go-to excuse. We should have lots of folks who have these canceled, who have checks.
$50 says there's little kittens on the checks.
You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. You can always join us, 855-752-4842. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
buy-in for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding, "The citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded." In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mox, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, retired Major General Randy Manner will be joining us to talk about the U.S. and the rest of the world, and especially the situation in Ukraine. So stick around for that. This does affect us here in Wisconsin, even though you may think it doesn't.
Everything having to do with our international allies affects us in Wisconsin. We've been talking about this for a year now.
Yes. And the importance of NATO and all of those things and why that matters and what that means to global supply chains and all those things. So we will get into that with Randy Manner after the 10:30 news. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about Bernie Sanders' big appearance in Kenosha on Friday. Yeah. Well over 3,000 people. And we had asked if you were there. We would love to hear from you still at 855-752-4842. Andrew from Menominee texting in, I was at Bernie's Altoona stop organizing with GROW, which is grassroots organizing of Western Wisconsin. The excitement was electric. Mm-hmm. People are eager to do something to protect our communities. That's great, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that. We'd love to see your check.
I was going to say,
to see your canceled check from George Soros.
It's probably like jury duty. You go and then you have to register and then they send you a check afterwards.
Because I did just get my check from jury duty.
What was that like? You get like $2,000?
It was $25.
Yeah, baby. You can see a movie by yourself.
I'm going to retire now. So. Glad that's done. We did also want to mention, however, while we're on the subject, there is a big election in Wisconsin coming up on April 1st.
Correct.
Wisconsin Supreme Court seat between Brad Schimmel and Susan Crawford. Mm-hmm. We just found out last week from the Marquette University Law School poll that a lot of people still have no opinion about either of these candidates. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. People have lives. People are very involved in other things, as you should be.
It's a spring election,
which is not usually a big turnout election.
Yep.
There needs to be a big turnout on April 1st for Susan Crawford. I think it's important that folks know this about Brad Schimmel. He told a group of canvassers in Waukesha County last weekend He needs to be elected to Wisconsin's Supreme Court to provide a support network for President Trump.
Huh.
And also shared complaints about the 2020 election results. So he's still on that bandwagon. Although he's not telling it, I haven't seen him say that on any media outlets. He does this in smaller groups when he's talking to supporters.
Yes.
I didn't realize it was the job of Wisconsin Supreme Court justices to be a support network for the sitting president.
You know what? I'm going to write this down, because when Jim Santel comes on the show on Thursday, I'd like to ask him if a sitting judge who's running for higher office as for the Supreme Court of Wisconsin is saying this, just an automatic conflict of interest, period. Is it a conflict of interest for certain things? Because I will bring it up again. The opposers of Justice Janet Protasiewicz lost their minds 2 years ago because she had said she thought the maps were rigged. That was it. So anything after they, but he is saying he needs to be a support system network for Trump. He has spoken outwardly on the 1849 abortion ban. He has worked to kill the ACA. So really what you see is a man with nothing but conflict of interest in his outside work. Why is your candidate?
Brett Schimmel, this is from WisPolitics.com, has repeatedly said he's running for the Supreme Court to bring impartiality back to the body. At the same time, he needs to be elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court to be a support network for Donald Trump. But he's going to bring impartiality back to the court.
What world am I living in right now? This is ridiculous. This is what we've been talking about with Brad Schimmel, is when he goes on up front and when he goes in his commercials, and I'm sure
very reasonable.
And I'm sure on Wednesday when he's debating Susan Crawford, he's going to come off as very level, very even keeled, very logical. But this is not this is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's not going to roll with what the people say, because the people have said what they wanted.
Yeah.
If abortion comes up, he will rule for the 1849 abortion ban.
And absolutely.
That is not what Wisconsin wants, and that is trackable through polling data. So do not let this man fool you. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he will rule as a support system of Donald Trump.
Support network, Brad Schimmel says.
Which, I'm going to throw on my little tinfoil hat right now. You say something like a support network, who else? That's more than one person then. Who else is in that network? Is that other justices in Wisconsin, around the country, the Supreme Court? What do you mean by network?
Very good question.
Sounds like almost like a conspiracy.
No.
I want there to be a good race, but Brad Schimmel is a flawed candidate.
Share what you know.
Yep.
Share what you know.
You're right.
I know it seems like a small thing and it feels like spitting in the wind. But again, we found out last week just how few people are really well versed in these two candidates.
Yes.
So if it comes up over your brunch, you may just want to point out, and we're not making this up. These are his words.
Yeah.
Brad Schimmel wants to provide a support network for Donald Trump when he is on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Big backer, as you said, of the 1849 abortion ban, which there are no exceptions for rape or incest.
Yeah.
And the restrictions we have now are adversely affecting women's health.
And we might talk about it maybe this week, but an interaction that Cal brought up to us, I just want to say this really quick. His team is saying he is not supported by billionaires. They're saying he is a grassroots candidate being supported by Wisconsinites, even though the Ulines, the Hendricks, and Elon Musk are dumping millions of dollars. These are not grassroots Wisconsinites.
Or your neighbors.
No.
We have news coming up next when we return. Retired Major General Randy Manner will be with us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. It looks like cuts to Medicaid will happen. Savannah Tome Olson has the story.
The House passed a resolution to reduce the energy and commerce budget by $880 billion over the next 9 years in order to extend President Donald Trump's tax cuts. Analysts say there's no way they'll be able to reduce the budget by that much without slashing funding to Medicaid. Here in Wisconsin, 1.2 million people get their coverage through Medicaid. That's 18% of the population. That includes one in three kids and more than half of nursing home residents.
And if you work with cows or poultry, stay healthy from the bird flu. The H5N1 bird flu viruses have been spreading among dairy cows in the U.S. The virus has also been found in poultry flocks, wild birds, and some mammals like cats. Human infections so far have been sporadic and can range from mild to severe. Signs and symptoms vary and can include red and irritated eyes, fever or cough, or lung infections like pneumonia. If you go to the doctor with any of these symptoms, be sure to tell them if you work with cows or poultry or have had contact with sick or dead animals. And the top six candidates to become the 78th Alice in Dairyland are announced. Melissa Kay tells us more.
The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced the finalists on Friday. They are Allison Foster, Michelle Stangler, Michaela Flight, Natalie Rowe, Olivia Lulich, and Sarah Hagnow. During the next 2 months, they will participate in a rigorous interview process, receive media and speaking training, and earn a DATCP Marketing and Communications Certificate. The Alice in Dairyland Finals are scheduled for May 15th through the 17th in Crawford County.
And the winner will be announced on May 17th and will begin her term on July 7th, becoming the next ambassador for Ag in Wisconsin. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. One of the great things about hosting Nightlight, getting recommendations from guests I have on the show. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was on the show last week, and we were talking about Parasite director Bong Joon-ho's new film. Chris recommended another of his films made in 2006 called The Host, a thriller about a slimy sea creature created from hazardous waste tossed into a river in Korea. If you like suspense and don't mind subtitles, check it out. Even though the Frasier reboot was canceled, Frasier himself says it's not only coming back for season 3, but will bring extra star power. Paramount Plus pulled the plug after season 2, but Kelsey Grammer says a different network will no doubt pick it up. The Emmy-winning actor added that the executive at Paramount Plus, who gave the green light, left and took all the support for the show with him. Grammer says it will be back, and possibly with Ted Danson returning as Sam Malone. Nice to see Ted finally getting some TV work. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's feeling like summer across the state with record high temperatures being shattered, with highs today soaring to the mid-60s. It will be a bit breezy, though, with winds pulling out of the south, warming us up. Record highs set for Wausau back in 2012 is 61 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Hans Breitenmoser on the tariff roller coaster farmers are stuck on. They're on, they're off, they're on again. What kind of trade policy is this?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, which is really glitchy today. I don't know what's going on with used to be Twitter. But anyway, I wanted to mention this. Civic Media, if you were looking for a job,
yeah,
and you were looking for something challenging,
mm-hmm.
Civic Media has a number of job openings.
Yes.
We are looking for producers like Calvin and Greg.
I'm a producer.
You are a producer also. We are looking for sales reps. We're looking for all kinds of folks.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a job and you've always thought about, radio might be fun.
Yeah.
Check it out at civicmedia.us/careers. civicmedia.us/careers. There are at least, I want to say, 10 job openings we have up there. It lists all of the duties, all of the responsibilities, everything like that. Check it out, civicmedia.us/careers. And good luck. Delighted to be joined by our next guest once again. He is a retired Major General from the United States Army. Randy Manner is here. Good morning, Randy. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Absolutely, Jane. Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg.
I wish there were less to talk about. I really do. Because when the last time I emailed you, I said, let's live in less interesting times. That would be great.
Yes. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it be? That would be just to be bored every day. Let's start with that horrible Oval Office meeting between Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend, and Volodymyr Zelensky. And I saw a commenter over the weekend say, President Zelensky expected to have a meeting in the Oval Office. Instead, he walked into the Kremlin.
That's actually a very good way to put it. It's just shocking how everything is turned up on end, that we're now allied with Russia, who has never, ever been reliable as a partner, ever. Even during World War II, Winston Churchill and Roosevelt basically were watching him at every turn, and only because they were trying to get rid of Hitler did they ally, should we say. But it's just shocking that we're not standing up for the concepts of freedom for our friends.
We used to be the standard bearers for democracies around the world. We took it as part of our mission to encourage democracy's growth around the world, to try to make things better. And apparently we've just abandoned all that, and Vladimir is great. And now we're like, as you said, we are more closely aligned with Russia now. If you watch any Russian media, they are delighted. They are delighted by what is coming out of the White House now.
Absolutely. They cannot believe how lucky they are. And of course, the sad thing is that the rest of the free world, the way that we define free world, more free, is united against us. Whether it's Europe or whether it's Japan, obviously even China, and of course Canada. I have some friends in Canada that are extremely concerned with the insane rhetoric and economic policies on again, off again. I mean, no offense, I could do a better job of leading this country by putting out decision options on a dartboard and throwing them blindfolded, and then just repeat, rinse and repeat.
Yeah,
yeah.
And since the last time we've spoken, the narrative that Volodymyr Zelensky is the aggressor and the invader and the starter of wars and a dictator has become the popular rhetoric. And just this morning I saw, you brought up Canada, who might become the new Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, has said flat out in his acceptance speech, we can no longer trust America. That's it.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I want to tell you, I wish we had the presidential equivalent of that guy. That guy is smart, versed, schooled, understands economic policy and the procedure and moving different levers up and down to be able to safeguard and do the very best for the people of Canada. And no offense to your listeners, we are going to suck. Everybody is going to find food costs going up at least 10% this year, at least 10%. You heard even the MAGA commentator saying, stop talking about the price of eggs.
Yeah.
I remember that was the exact mantra back in October, November.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about how it impacts the average American about food prices and about job opportunities and our farmers who are going to be hit left and right by all of these, by the world saying, screw America, we are not buying your crap because your president is an idiot, and turning everything into this, we're doing a tariff. Oh, we're not doing a tariff. Oh, we're going to do, we have a Republican senator that complained about the tariffs because of somebody from some business. Oh, let's turn those tariffs off. Oh, wait, no, never mind. Let's put them back on again. Oh, wait, let's double down. It is absolute insanity. My three-year-old grandson would do a better job of running this country.
Well, and the justifications by certain members of the media that this is normal, that this is a normal way to run a country. This is a normal way to deal with the economy, changing your mind from day to day. And as we mentioned when we first came on the air, because all the stock market gains now from November 5th have essentially been wiped out. There is nothing farmers and businesses hate more than uncertainty. They have to plan ahead.
That's right. Absolutely. I deal with a lot of corporations and trying to get their boards and their C-suite officers to be able to focus on what are the challenges and the opportunities under the new administration, because there are challenges and there are opportunities. The reality is it changes almost every day. And that basically means whether it's supply chain costs, whether it has to do with employee turnover, whether it has to do with how do they present themselves to their customers, where are they? All of these things are up in the air, and businesses do not like that. So that's not business friendly whatsoever. Americans want government to be out of their lives, and I'm going to be clear about this. We want clean water. We want clean air. We want to be safe from international terrorism. We want our borders to be secure. What we don't want is for our food costs to go up by way more than 10%. And I'm being conservative in that estimate, by the way.
And we also don't want all of the people who check our food to make sure it's safe get fired. That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, you think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. True. So, back to the situation that was mentioned relative to Ukraine, I find it just astounding. Okay, we're cutting off all intel to the Ukrainians. So now they are basically blind because we had a partnership that they could count on us for so many years during when Russia invaded them to start. And now it is literally they're on their own. The Europeans are trying desperately to be able to fill in the gap. At the same time, they don't have the intelligence network that we do, meaning the United States military. And it's just extremely sad. It's going to not go well over there, is the best way to put it.
Well, and essentially by us ending this sharing of intelligence, we're leaving Ukraine wide open for Putin and Russia, right?
Absolutely right.
And then moving further as they see fit.
They will move the borders over. They will pause and consolidate. They will purge the local people. And then they will keep on putting pressure to continue to move toward the West. Same thing. I mean, they have a history of doing this, and they will continue to do this.
It's almost, it's like we didn't learn our lesson the first time.
Or the second time. Any other time. Yeah. Yeah. I was the first general officer to go into Russia after they invaded Georgia way back in 2000, I think it was 9. And the reason I was permitted to go by the president at the time was because we had a treaty with Russia to be able to inspect their nuclear weapons and for them to inspect ours and to be able to fly over their country in a U.S. aircraft to be able to take pictures. And the same thing, we would host them to come over and to verify by flying a Russian aircraft over our facilities. In other words, we both watched each other and we verified sitting in the same aircraft and being on the ground. I was outside of Moscow in a Russian missile base. And I'm telling you, those days were we trust but verify.
Right.
Well, now we're trusting without verifying crap. And that's going to not end well for the United States in any part of a military confrontation.
If you're just joining us, retired Major General Randy Manner is our guest, and we're talking about the situation with Ukraine. Now the U.S. has pulled all of its intelligence sharing, and this does not bode well for the Ukrainian people. It also, Randy, just does not bode well for us, as we're no longer a reliable ally.
No.
Right?
No, we are, quite frankly, not only are we unreliable, we are, quite frankly, the enemy. We are the enemy of the Canadians. The anger and frustration from our neighbors to the north is sadly well-deserved. It's just appalling what we are doing to our friends, all because we have a schoolyard bully running our country. If the president was in a local school and he was 10 years old, his parents would be called every single day with the activities that he would be doing. It would not be tolerated. And I appeal to all the parents that are out there. Would you allow your child to act like this? The answer is no, you would not. And you would not tolerate another child bullying your own in that same fashion. This is inexcusable behavior, not commensurate with that which we expect of our senior elected leaders to hold, or any elected leaders for that matter.
I completely agree with you, Randy, 100%. I just feel like now is the day where I see so many videos of children and adults celebrating their own terrible behavior. So I feel like they're almost it's a reflection of who's in charge of this thing of saying, well, we do whatever we want because we're American. You don't like it. You can just get out. That's their whole thing. Just get out. And that's where we live now. And that's the unfortunate thing. And I don't disagree with you, Randy. I do think your 3-year-old grandkid could run it better.
I think folks are missing as well, Randy, the economic impacts that things like this, maybe you're not seeing it today, but we're going to see it. And if the United States, which Donald Trump, I believe, still wants to withdraw from NATO, one of the reasons America has had so many decades of prosperity is largely due to NATO policing the rest of the world and all of us so that supply chains can run and we can make trade agreements and all of those things, right?
Right. As I mentioned to you before, because of these tariffs and the uncertainty of the tariffs on again, off again, this is not only causing direct harm to American businesses, it's ending relationships, business relationships with other countries who say, I can't count on the US. I've got to find a secondary supply chain to take care of my manufacturing. And once they find those supply chains, they're not coming back.
Right.
And because you want a reliable partner. Just think about it in your local community. If someone's providing you with produce or with food to your store or with parts, you want to know that it's not going to be, oh, we're charging you 25% more today. Oh, actually, we don't have any for you because we don't like you. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to find this.
That's... They're eventually going to stop trusting us, and they're eventually going to just we're going to be dried up, and we can't provide for each other. We need to have those import export relationships.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and we had talked to we have the head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union on once a month now, and the last time we did this trade war and these tariffs under the first Trump administration, the soybean market was permanently altered because of that. Mm-hmm. Because countries that used to import our soybeans decided, as you said, we can't trust you, we can't rely on you, we're going to go to Brazil.
Exactly. I think when this is all very evidenced, by the way, very sad that the Republican National Committee put out the word to all of its national leaders to say, stop doing in-person town halls mm-hmm. because of those nasty Democrats are breaking them up. Well, let me just be clear about this. The people have the right to speak respectfully and according to the rules. The Republicans are basically saying, screw you guys. We don't want to hear from anybody.
We're going to continue our conversation with Randy Manner, retired Major General for the United States Army. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
No more. I'm a fool.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care, together we build better lives.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by retired Major General Randy Manner with the U.S. Army talking about Donald Trump and NATO and Ukraine and tariffs. And we had one person saying, well, you know, other countries tariff us. Aren't we just, you know, isn't this fair?
I think the bottom line is that tariffs are something that should be used very judiciously and very carefully for specific industries, for specific countries, at for specific durations of time to make points, particularly whenever a country is trying to undercut our prices, whenever the government of that country subsidizes them to, quite frankly, to grab more market share. So it's something where specific tariffs can serve your country well to do them, including the United States. Blanket ones that go on again, off again, and very, very
haphazard,
not well thought through, then that does not serve anybody well. And in fact, we're finding, I mean, even the Kentucky bourbon manufacturers are in shock that, oh my goodness, Canada just put a tariff on that because Trump put it on them. And of course, the Canadians are smart. They just took all the U.S. products off the shelf. Yep. Don't even sell them. Forget the idea of 25% tariff.
Yep. George on the live stream says, we finally have a president who's looking after the USA, Randy. How is Donald Trump looking after the USA?
Do you need a moment to laugh?
100% not looking after the USA. Looking after the USA is taking care of our American citizens to provide good jobs, low cost of fuel and food, and to maintain safe environments. He is putting us at greater risk. And guess what? All the people who feel that way are going to find out in the next 6 to 12 months because their paychecks are going to get smaller and smaller in terms of buying power. So I basically say, burn it to the ground. It's all going to, we'll see what happens.
And someone else accused you of being a warmonger. Democrats are all warmongers.
Fearmonger.
And fearmongering, too, yes.
actually, I'm not warmongering anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that what we are doing is the president is actually harming the average American person, particularly in red districts that are heavily dependent upon farming
yep.
and manufacturing. And by the way, people don't realize, I wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal that was published in October of last year talking about how Trump was politicizing FEMA and everything. He has threatened to, not threatened, he stated he's going to cut all subsidies to all states for emergency response. Most states do not realize that 95% plus or minus a few points of their state emergency response offices are funded by the federal government. Well, you know what? Blue states, no problems. They have the money on average to pay for these. Many red states other than Texas don't have the extra funds. So Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia don't have the excess funds to take care of their citizens whenever hurricanes or tornadoes or forest fires come in. So my perspective is, let's just see, we're going to let everything play out and see if you are in a better state by the end of this calendar year or not.
Well, and the other thing I think that people are forgetting when we talk about Medicare and, or not Medicare, but Medicaid and who is on Medicaid, a lot of folks in rural areas take advantage of Medicaid because that's, they are in that situation, and a lot of folks who are in the agricultural industry are on Medicaid.
Well, the sad news is I am absolutely positively a fiscal conservative. I believe that we should have only enough government to get by. The government obviously should be more effective and efficient. However, at the same time, the arbitrary firing of people, the getting rid of the pipeline of people who were hired under the past 6 to 12 months will absolutely impact people who are looking at getting Medicare, looking at Social Security, and looking also, by the way, for veterans. There is no way at all that you can reduce the workforce substantially the way that is happening right now without introducing automated tools to do it. Well, guess what? Automated tools take anywhere between 6 months to 2 years to put into place. They're not coming. So what does this mean? And again, for any person who is going to be applying for Medicare, applying for Social Security, applying for veterans benefits, or have an issue with them, in the next 8 months, you're going to find longer wait times, slower responses, and it's all going to be because the Trump has said, you know what, we don't care about the average person. We are going to hack and slash the workforce rather than thoughtfully figure out how to make the government more effective and efficient. So again, people from red counties and red districts voted for it, and I want them all to deal with the consequences that will be happening by the end of the year. It's not today. And by the way, everything that I said in that Wall Street Journal article has come true. So for the people who don't believe it, they just have to look backwards in time and look at where are we today. And then the same thing applies. Where are we going to be
in 6 months?
The end of this calendar year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just wanted to say really quick to the fear mongering text too. They said that Canada has 250% tariffs on dairy. That's actually only if the Trump tariffs kick in, that'll happen. So there's the context and not fear mongering.
Randy Manor, thank you so very much for your time. Retired Major General with the United States Army. We will talk to you probably in about a month. Things go well, I'll never see you again.
That's the truth. That's all. Look at the facts, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
News coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in, author Laura Ann Bird, to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. At least 32 people have been brought ashore after a cargo ship and U.S. tanker collided in the North Sea off the English coast. CBS's Ian Lee.
The people, at least on the U.S. flagship, have been accounted for because we're hearing that that is the ship that erupted into flames.
Financial markets are in retreat today as investors digest the possibility of a recession. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The combination of on-again, off-again tariffs, as well as government job cuts, and businesses and consumers pulling back on spending has caused recessionary fears to resurface.
New China tariffs in place today target American farm products. Legal analyst Lori Levinson says the U.S. Supreme Court will not sidestep a major issue.
The Supreme Court has decided to take a very controversial case involving whether states can ban LGBTQ conversion therapy.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
I'm Brittany.